Also, the FBI's Russia investigation is back in the headlines. The Washington Post reporting special counsel Robert Mueller wants to question President Trump in the coming weeks about firing National Security Advisor Michael Flynn and FBI Director James Comey. The Post also reports that shortly after Trump fired Comey in May, the president asked Andrew McCabe, the deputy director of the FBI, who McCabe voted for president. And Republicans who head four congressional committees are alleging corruption and bias at the FBI.
Meanwhile, there is no deal on immigration in sight on Capitol Hill as another government shutdown looms in just under 3 weeks. Here and now, political analysts join us this week. Corinne Jean-Pierre, a Democratic strategist. Hi, Corinne.
Hello.
And Matt Mikowiak, a Republican strategist. Hi, Matt.
Hey there. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for being here. And I want to start with immigration and the shutdown. California Democratic Senator Dianne Feinstein said the shutdown battle that Democratic leader Chuck Schumer waged over an immigration deal may not have been the wisest course of action. And immigration hardliner Republican Tom Cotton said he didn't think Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell made any concessions to Democrats. So, Corinne, let me start with you. Who won and who lost in this shutdown?
Well, I'll say this. I think the people that won were the 9 million young people who are poor kids who need health insurance, and they will be being held hostage by the Republicans in the Senate, in particular Mitch McConnell, who refused to put that to the floor to make sure that a bipartisan agreement, which is CHIP, which has been around for some time, didn't get to the floor to get voted on, something that would have been reauthorized. And I think that is a win for those 9 million sick kids.
Because so that was in the plan.
It was in the CR that was voted on Monday. But saying that, I'm glad that happened. But I am incredibly disappointed in Democrats for not holding the line, not staying strong, and not fighting for DACA recipients who are thinking every day. And some dreamers are being deported, about 100 or so of them every day. And it is incredibly disappointing. But now we move on to round two. And as you guys just mentioned, February 8th is the next deadline.
Well, Matt, what about Republicans here? Because, yeah, everybody's saying that maybe Democrats realized quickly that although people overwhelmingly are for extending DACA, this deportation protection for millions, they very much don't want the shutdown either. And so Democrats were seen to be, you know, scuttling about to try to, you know, change direction. But Republicans were once again seen as not supporting DACA, and that's going to happen over again. Didn't Republicans lose as well?
Well, I think all incumbents lost to some extent because I think most people don't pay attention to the small but important details in these battles. They just see dysfunction in Washington and they blame everyone. Now, in this case, it's pretty clear that Democrats prevented the government from staying open on Friday when the deadline hit. And the only concession Schumer got is it went from a 4-week extension to a 3-week extension, which is an immaterial irrelevancy. But sure, to the fundamental question of DACA, I do believe there is a bipartisan majority in both houses to solve the DACA issue. But you have to do something about the underlying problem, which is a system that allows people to come here illegally. Because if you put these individuals into a greater state of certainty, it may welcome other people to bring their children
in the
short term if we don't address border security.
I just want to jump in there because we need to be clear. DACA is a program that's over. You had to have come within a certain time frame, within certain years.
Mm-hmm.
You
right.
had to come. And so it's not as if you are now renewing DACA itself. It's that those who came in those years would have the extension that they expected. It's not about extending DACA to people who are just now arriving.
Right, but I mean, don't you think that that the same sort of emotional connection that people have to these children that exists now would exist in the future if another wave of these individuals came in? I guess the question is, do you want to fundamentally solve the issue of a porous border? That's really the question. And I think Republicans are saying, yes, we can give a pathway forward to legalization for those children that are here, but we need to solve the fundamental problem of border security at the same
time.
And
let's get to that point. Here's Chuck Schumer speaking yesterday.
We're going to have to start on a new basis, and the wall offer is off the table.
He says the wall offer is off the table. Corinne, is the wall so bad that Democrats should hold up action on the Dreamers over it?
I think the wall is a racist idea. I mean, look, if you look at the studies say that there are actually less people. Hardly anybody is crossing the border anymore. The wall is not even needed because of those numbers, if you look at those numbers. But, you know, I think the most important point about that is even with Chuck Schumer offering the wall, which is clearly was a staple in Donald Trump's campaign, he still said no to the deal, that bipartisan deal that Chuck Schumer offered him last week that Donald Trump blew up, the second bipartisan deal that Donald Trump blew up, which makes you think, well, does Donald Trump even really truly want a bill of love as he asked for, and does he really want to fix this problem? And I think what that entails, what that means, is that this really goes back to the Hill and the leadership on the Senate and the House side to really try to fix this problem. Because as we have seen, Donald Trump has not helped this situation at all. And when it comes to, just want to be really clear here, when it comes to DACA recipients, and I agree with Robin, it's like these are folks, 700, close to 800,000 young people who we made a promise to, who are really giving. They're not criminals. They came. You can't be a criminal being DACA recipient. 900 of them or so are in the military. These are young people who are part of the fabric of this country and don't know anything else but this country. And so we need to keep our promise that the United States has made to them.
Well, in fact, Matt, let's talk about how this is being discussed through ads and tweets and messages. There's tweets from Trump and robocalls to voters in several states saying that Democrats are prioritizing undocumented immigrants. Now, of course, DACA is, as we just, it's a separate issue. There was that ad released last weekend, and this is not from a PAC. This is from President Trump's reelection campaign. Let's listen to part of it.
Democrats who stand in our way will be complicit in every murder committed by illegal immigrants. President Trump will fix our border and keep our families safe.
Democrats will be complicit in every murder committed by illegal immigrants. Your thoughts on that ad, the messaging that's happening, and also how does President Trump, you're the strategist, how does President Trump get away with holding something up for a demand for money for a wall that he promised that Mexico is going to pay for?
That's a good second question. So let me kind of try to address this in different ways. First of all, the notion that Schumer put the wall on the table is not accurate. He put an authorization on the table, not an appropriation. I mean, the Secure Fence Act that passed in 2006 was fully authorized. It was just never fully funded by Congress, and a current Congress cannot bind a future Congress in spending. So it's a little bit of a phony offer from Schumer in the first place, but it was interesting to watch over the weekend that even Luis Gutierrez, the very pro-immigrant Democratic member of Congress from Illinois, was willing to admit that the wall could be built if they mm-hmm. could get a deal on DACA. So it's interesting that messaging has changed on the other side. But look, I do think the contours of the deal are coming into clearer view. Obviously, you want to try to address this population of 700,000 or 800,000 people that came here as children. We separate adults from children in our legal system in the sense that adults are responsible for their actions and children are not. And so I think that Republicans, broadly speaking, want to see that get dealt with. But as I said before, they want to address the fundamental issue. Do I think there's been language used on both sides on the extremes that have been unhelpful? Yes. Mm-hmm. I also know that in the CR, the Senate has said they're going to move to immigration on February 8th if there's another shutdown. And so they're going to either consider immigration on the floor of the Senate February 9th, or they're going to keep the government open and keep negotiating. And there is a bipartisan group now that is discussing this in the Senate. The question of whether you can find a final deal that can get 60 votes in the Senate and get a majority in the U.S. House remains an open question.
Okay. I am jumping ahead like 8 topics now because we only have 2 minutes left, and I want to get to something that we keep having to push off and never have time for it. But I think if it were President Obama that we were talking about, we would be talking about this every single day, which is Stormy Daniels. The Common Cause watchdog group says the Justice Department should investigate a $130,000 payment that President Trump's lawyer made to a shell company that allegedly paid this porn star Stormy Daniels in the weeks before the election last year to keep quiet about an alleged affair with Trump. Corrine, is this story going anywhere? Should Democrats be talking about Stormy Daniels?
Look, I worked for President Obama the first 2 years of his administration. I totally agree. If this was President Obama, it would be he would, you know, be getting impeached or whatever. There'd be committees asking for his impeachment. However you would like to say it, it would be just, you know, all hell would have broken loose. So clearly we don't see that with Donald Trump, which is not all that surprising. But the way that I see this is that, look, this was two consensual adults. I don't really care about it. That's between he and
Melania. They're both denying it, by the way, now. Yeah.
I'm sorry?
They're both denying it, both of those okay. those adults. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. whatever. What I do care about, I have to say, is that, you know, we know that there has been a case, people who have come, women who have come and out and said very strongly and accused Donald Trump of being a sexual harasser, sexual assaulter. We've heard stories of him walking in locker rooms of teenage pageants. Contestants. And I think that's the story that I really want to talk about, I really want
to
hear about.
We're going to have to wrap it there with Karine Jean-Pierre, the Democratic strategist, and Mac Mikowiak, the Republican strategist. We'll have you back to ask, why isn't Mexico paying for the wall? Thank you both.